clue? Does anyone have any clue?
Hello.
Hey. This is Alan Green. Sorry, we're having some hiccups trying to get the webinar started. Who's on right now?
Susan Wagner.
Okay, perfect, perfect. How are you today?
Good, and you?
Good. Do you have the GoToWebinar control, or the webinar open? Can you see my screen right now?
Yes, I can.
Perfect, wonderful. I apologize, I'm new to all of this, so I think we got it figured out now.
Okay.
Hey, Susan, now can you just see the PowerPoint? Okay. Sounds good. So you can't see the control panel? All right.
I see the other, like, I see, like, the slide preview and stuff, but I don't see anything else.
Okay. I wonder. Okay, now can you see it, like, in full mode or full screen?
All I see right now, then, is pursuing an advanced degree, and then it says organizer. A message from the organizer is all.
Okay.
Hello, ladies.
Hello.
Hello.
This is Mary.
Hey, Mary, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Good. All right, can you... Can you see it, how it's supposed to look right now?
Mm-mm. I don't see.
Okay. I'm showing my screen. Okay. How about this?
No.
Okay. Mary, what can you see on your end?
I can see pursuing an advanced degree.
Is it the actual slideshow, or is it a...
No, it's just the info page with the number and the code for calling in. That
okay, what about
screen.
Now? Okay. I apologize, Mary. I was just telling Susan that I'm new to all of this, and Ellen wasn't available to kick you guys off today, so I am going to do that today. So
That's
you
fine.
Can see my whole screen now.
Yes, I can.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
True to it, too. So you can ask Ellen Thompson. I've been asking tons of questions lately, so.
Sounds good.
We're all on the
Sounds
same page.
Good. I'm excited about today's webinar myself, so thank you guys so much for organizing and for facilitating this.
Yeah. Hopefully the other ambassador, Alex, she gets out of class, I think, at 5, so she's going to be hustling.
Come here.
Perfect.
Come here.
Josh's mom's here. Okay. Mary, just so you know, I don't know if you've ever been on one of these webinars before, but at like 5 o'clock, I'll just say like, you know, welcome. Can you please make sure that everyone mutes their phone for no background noise? And then I'm going to turn it over to you, because you're the only ambassador on that will probably be on right at 5. From there, you'll be the one that introduces the presenters.
All right. I'm one of them, so that makes it easy.
Perfect. And then I will give you administrative rights, so you can actually, let's test that out right now. I'm going to see if I can give you... What was that?
It says I can change who the presenter is, so I could make myself the presenter, it looks like. And I have that PowerPoint up as well, so if it's easier to just hold presenter rights the entire time, I can do that.
Oh, yeah, let's do that. That's a smart idea. So, yeah, if you want to make yourself the...
Yeah, let me finish answering an email really quickly, and then
no problem.
Pull my screen up. Oh, no. All right. Got that PowerPoint. Pull up the webinar.
Do we have a Casey Reinholtz on the call?
We do, yep.
Okay, perfect. I just saw your name and I wasn't quite sure. I'm new to all of this. Wonderful.
Okay. Casey, she's actually one of my friends from Utah, so she should be calling me.
Oh, perfect. Okay.
All right. Can you see my screen currently?
Yes, I can.
Right.
Can anyone see my screen? No, I think you are now. Yep.
Yeah, I think it's just
Mary McCart is now. Wonderful.
Well, that was easy. Marvelous. And Susan, do you have any presentation you're going to be using?
No, I'm just going to talk.
All right, that works.
It looks like we have four on the call right now. I think a lot of people usually chime in right at 5, so we'll just wait a few more minutes. I know there was some confusion with what time it started, because the webinar, when you went to go sign up, it said 4 to 6, and so they sent out an email today that they had pushed back till 5, so hopefully that doesn't affect too many of our people, but we just don't know.
Yeah, it was originally supposed to be at 5, and that's what we had told Ellen, and there was some confusion in between where it kept being posted as 4 o'clock, and I'm like, no, that's not correct. And it just took till today to correct it, unfortunately.
Gotcha. One question that I'm going to text Ellen right now is it says on the side we have a duration of 45 minutes. I'm just going to make sure that we can go past that, and it's not going to cut us off or anything.
I don't believe so. I think I heard someone else join the call, so welcome.
All right, it's 5 o'clock right now. We're just going to go ahead and wait probably 2 more minutes, just in case anyone else decides. For those of you who are just joining us, if you could go ahead and mute your phone. Webinars are a little tricky because we get a lot of background noise. So if you could just do that just to make it a more pleasant experience for all of us. We'll go ahead and get started here in about 90 seconds. All right, we can go ahead and get started here. Good evening, all of you guys that are on the phone call. My name is Alan Green. I work with the National Teach Ag Campaign. I'm interning this summer. Today we're really excited to have a webinar focused on pursuing advanced degrees within agricultural education. We have two ambassadors that are going to be on today, Mary McCart and then Alex Eastman. They're going to be responsible for facilitating and introducing those guest speakers. So I'm now going to turn it over to Mary McCart to start the webinar.
All right. Good evening, everybody. And Alex, are you here as well, I believe?
I am. Hi, Mary. How are you?
I'm good. How are you, Alex?
Great.
Awesome. All right. So I believe I'm in charge of the PowerPoint. So whoever, I think everyone who's in here to get the audio number is on that main screen. Let's see. So reminders, just while we're working, going through the webinar, just make sure background noise, if you're calling in on audio on a phone, just mute it. If you're not involved in the discussion, just quiet down background noise. I apologize. I have a parakeet who's probably going to want to chime in, so I'll try to keep my phone muted when I can. Webcam is available if you need it. There's a chat feature also on the right side, so if you've got questions, feel free to throw them in there. Please ask questions. I mean, that's why we're all joining in. And there's also an available email for any if you need to contact questions later. And I apologize if there are tech glitches. I'm still figuring this out. So basically the agenda for this evening is we'll have, you know, basic introduction. Then we will have Susan Wagner is with us, and she will be presenting from the perspective of someone who has decided to go into teaching and then pursuing a master's degree while teaching. Then I, myself, am another presenter. Then we'll have a question and answer session and a wrap-up at the end. So chat features are on the right side of the screen. It basically works as an instant message sort of system. So just feel free to use that throughout the webinar. And our presenters this evening, as I mentioned, are Ms. Susan Wagner on the left, and that is me on the right, representing University of Connecticut. If you want to access any previous webinars, those are all up on Teach Ag website as well, posted PDF format. So if you have any questions or want to go back, realize you're enjoying this webinar and want to go see previous ones, you are more than welcome to do that as well. So without further ado, I think I'd like to open the floor to Ms. Susan Wagner to share with us her perspectives and her background in pursuing her further education.
Hello, everyone. I'm Susan, and I've currently been teaching agriculture for 7 years, 3 years at Southridge, which is with the Southwest Du Bois School Corporation, and 4 years prior to that at Castle High School. And through the experience of going through Purdue, I was able to graduate 3.5 years early because I had set up my schedule as a bachelor's degree. And then while I was up there, my counselor kind of talking to me about my master's degree, because at the time I didn't really think I needed a master's degree and wasn't going to pursue it, and he further convinced me otherwise, which is a good thing. And so he said something about I was able to take undergrad classes or graduate classes as an undergrad. So at that time I was able to take 9 credit hours as an undergrad, so that helped proceed my career a little faster and move on with that master's degree, so I didn't have to take into as much time into my class while I was teaching. And then that summer I went ahead and proceeded to take 3 more during the summer while I had already accepted a job at Castle, so I was trying to plan lessons and get everything ready and set up a new school and get everything ready to go with that, and trying to take 9 credit hours, 3 classes while I was up at Purdue. And doing everything up there. And then after I started teaching, I waited till my spring semester to take another class. So during that time, that class took up somewhat of time. I was also in charge of our district leadership contest for the FSA during that time period, so that was quite stressful trying to do it. But overall, the classwork did not take up too much of my time. For those of you that are interested in trying to do it, it's not very difficult. If I could maintain doing both of those things, it was pretty easy. And then as the years went on, I had three more classes left to take. The one, I actually went to Costa Rica and took one over in Costa Rica, and that was during the summer, which was an awesome experience. I will highly recommend, if you have the opportunity to take trips like that through your master's program, and to do so, because they're a lot of fun. And then I also took the rest of the two classes while teaching. The one was designing a POA, so developing like the program of activities and getting all that stuff prepared and kind of establishing an FFA chapter. So a lot of it was pretty relevant to what I needed to do. So there really wasn't any extra work. It was just stuff I had to do in order to be successful within the FFA program. And then the next class that I had to take was developing an Ag Advisory Committee. So with that, too, it was something that we needed to do. So my experience with the master classes was very well. They're beneficial. Things were, you know, important at that point in time. I guess if anybody has any questions for me, I'd be willing to take them.
Susan, I have a question. As you were a new teacher and receiving your post or your master's degree, how did you manage your time? What were some of those tools that you used to be able to make sure that you were dedicating yourself in the classroom, but then also dedicating the time needed to complete your studies?
Okay. through teaching, I've always been very organized with my time. So I set aside a specific amount of time that I needed to work on classwork. And if it was something that was due within that week, I would start it off early in the week and not try to procrastinate to the last minute, because I found procrastination does not help you at all within that aspect, especially when I had other things to continue with within the FFA side of it and trying to plan lessons as a first-year teacher. So I had to basically set aside time just for that class. So I don't know if that answers your question. Basically, setting aside separate time, allowing for me to be able to do the class and then, you know, get that all taken care of in that time period.
Perfect. Thank you.
Is there any other questions?
How did you get time away from school and work to travel abroad for your studies?
That class was offered during the summertime, so it was in June, and we don't have school year-round school, so I was able to leave. It was right after our state convention, so I was able to take off and actually go to the Costa Rica trip. So, does anybody else have any questions? Oh, sorry.
No, I was gonna ask the same thing. Oh. All right. If not, I guess it'd be my turn then.
Okay.
So my background is a little bit different. I'm currently a graduate student at UConn. So hold on. And my path is basically agriculture student in high school, big into the FFA, competed on a lot of CDE teams, and I knew I wanted to be an agriculture educator, so into education. By the time I was a freshman in college, I did push my path halfway through my freshman year, but I completed my bachelor degree in agriculture and natural resources at UConn last December of 2014, graduated with class 2015. But I guess my pathway was a little different. It seems like a lot of other colleges across the country offer bachelor's degrees in ag education. I chose not to do that because I wanted to spend my undergrad time building my background in agricultural topics. so I kept a diversified major, got to study basically a little bit of everything I wanted. As soon as I graduated, because I knew I wanted to be an ag teacher, I enrolled into UConn, again, as a graduate student, into their teacher certification program for college graduates. For short, it's the TCTCG, which with a lot of practice gets easier to say. It is a one-year intensive program for anyone with a college degree looking to become an educator. So it's open to science, history, physical education, special education, foreign languages, any of the main content areas. Everyone comes out with a master's in curriculum instruction. We're all recommended for certification in the state of Connecticut. And that certification tells you what your concentration is. In this case, mine is going to be agricultural education. So since the program is 1 year, you basically graduate from your undergrad in May, and then your classes begin in June. So there are two semesters over the summer. Each of them is 6 weeks, but they cover about 15 weeks worth of material like a regular semester. So I suppose one difference between the program I'm in and getting your graduate degree beforehand versus maybe while you're in school is mine was a little more open to all content areas. So my classes weren't specifically for FFA or POAs or anything like that. So I was taking very broad educational courses for people who probably didn't have a background in education yet because our bachelor's degrees were all over the place. So a lot of it is just laying a foundation. So it was social multicultural foundations of education, history of education, educational psychology, some basic methods of instruction and evaluation, and then ways to apply and use technology in the classroom, which has been very helpful, especially my student teaching experiences. The second summer semester was all about reading and developing literacy within each specific content area. There was also a course where we got to work just with future ag teachers in the state. So we pulled all the ag education concentration majors from all the campuses, and we would meet and go visit a different ag center every week. Being in Connecticut, small state, the furthest one's 2 hours away, so we got to see a lot of different places that semester. And then we also had a course on generally working with students with special needs. The fall semester was a full-time student teaching experience, which seems to differ where if you're in a full-time semester program, normally they have you finish out the year and the spring semester of student teaching, whereas this UConn program has you student teach in the fall. And there's still a seminar class once a week you go to talk to with your fellow students, get some feedback and things along those lines. And currently I am finishing out the one-year program with back to basically full-time classes. We're returning to multicultural education, just working with the diversity within the classroom, how to develop as a professional, so that's resume writing, portfolio crafting. There's also a class on curriculum writing. And in addition, we have an in-school internship research project, which mine is focused on recruitment in agriculture centers, and I'm working with a fellow future ag teacher. So for me, I think the benefits of earning my master's before going into teaching is I'm going to be well prepared for teaching. I didn't come out of my bachelor's with any background in education, and I truly believe that earning my master's first is helping prepare me to go into the classroom and be a very strong educator. And the nice thing is I also didn't have to balance work in classes quite as much. So it's a full-time program. It's 1 year. It was very, very rigorous. So I was able to focus solely on the classes and getting as much out of them as I can. And at the same time, it also, again, because I crossed paths with a lot of other majors, I was able to develop relationships with teachers from a lot of other programs. So turns out I ended up teaching a couple biology courses while subbing. I was able to talk to other future science teachers, get feedback from them, get input from them. It just helps you build relationships with other teachers as well before you even, you know, enter the work position. And another benefit, which, you know, little ways off, but one perk is I'm going to be going and entering into a teaching position at a slightly higher pay grade. Some programs look for teachers just with a bachelor's because they start off in a lower pay grade or a pay level, which, you know, this could either hurt or benefit me in the long run. We have yet to determine. But so far I'm looking at it as a benefit that I'll be able to go in and say, I have a master's, and this is completely taken care of. I don't have to go in, worry about getting certified, worry about filing paperwork. I can just go in, focus on the students, getting a job, and doing that to the best of my ability. A couple disadvantages, though, is because mine was a one-year program, it costs a lot of money in a single year, and it is very difficult to work during the classes, and there's not a lot of scholarships available that I was able to find without a district sort of support. So the cost was probably one downside to it, and a lot of the material, especially in methods for instruction and classroom management, it's hard to fully understand that without having any classroom experience yet. So learning about methods of instruction before student teaching, a lot of it took a while for it to click. And another disadvantage is, Susan, you said you weren't sure about the master's degree or wasn't sure if you wanted to even get it before starting teaching. One disadvantage here is you may spend a year or 2 years even working on your master's before entering the profession and then decide, well, I'm not actually going to use this. One of my fellow teachers is doing that now. She's in ag education. We're going to be graduating together in 2 months. She may be going to work on a dairy farm instead of teaching. So then that's a year or two's worth of education that you're not sure if you're going to use. So my general takeaway is there's different approaches to different people. For me, because I knew this is what I wanted to do, it worked out very well. I'm really very happy that I'm going to have my education completely out of the way, completely taken care of, and I can just go into teaching with a strong background in education now, only a year's worth, but very thorough, and I think I'm going to be well prepared. So that's my story and my version of it. Any questions?
Yes. For both Mary and Susan, you guys could both put some input in there. If you guys might be appreciated, Mary was bringing up you know, some of the disadvantages of pursuing your degree, and how one of them, of course, is the cost. If any of you, both of you, were to do it again, would you guys take some time off to save up money and for expenses as well as school and then continue on your degree? Or did you find it more beneficial to pursue your degree the way you guys did?
This is Susan. I found it beneficial the way I did it because I was only paying for one class at a time. And I also got scholarships through Purdue. They had scholarship opportunities available for those that were taking a master class, and basically it paid for the master class itself. And with taking the classes as an undergrad, I had scholarship. My tuition was all paid for, so that helped. So in my retrospect, I would do it the same way again because I had it paid off as soon as I graduated.
And for me, this is Mary. I probably would not have changed the way I've done it. I was lucky I was able to graduate from my undergrad early, so I had a full semester to work. It was just, for me, the one-year program, you're paying for 4 semesters in a single year, and honestly, I think that was the most difficult part. I think it was completely worth it. It was difficult. I mean, like trying to, you know, there were a couple of scholarships available. I pursued those. I did get a couple of scholarships for support, but there wasn't as much out there as I would have liked, but I would not have changed the way I did it either way.
Okay, thank you.
I have a question for Alex. Is it possible to use financial aid to pursue grad school, or is that more of just an undergraduate thing? I guess I'm not that familiar with the whole grad school process, so...
That's a very good question. Unfortunately, I'm still learning. I think among the other ambassadors here, I'm still in undergraduate school receiving my bachelor's in animal science. So I know I have... no, it's all right. I have the option of financial aid. But maybe Mary and Susan would be able to answer.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I misspoke. I saw your name on the list, and I meant to say Mary.
No
sorry
problem
about that.
What's the question again?
I was just wondering if you can use financial aid to pay for grad school.
You filed a FAFSA as a graduate student, and actually I had some financial aid left over from my undergraduate
because I had financial aid for the I graduated December 2014, didn't need the loan for like that one semester, and because I began classes the next summer, I was able to roll it over for financial aid. So as a graduate student, you absolutely fill out the whole entire FAFSA form. You still get support and loans and things along those lines. You're not left completely stranded and isolated as a graduate student.
Perfect. Thank you, Mary. And then my other question is, I know like a lot of friends who have like assistantships. Could you talk a little bit about that process, maybe what schools are looking for when they're offering those to students, and what myself as an undergraduate can do in hopes of getting an assistantship when going into grad school?
Define assistantship for me.
Maybe it's not every school that does it. I have friends that go to the University of Florida, and they receive an assistantship, and so it's basically, I don't want to say a full ride scholarship, but it's funding that's provided to them through the program to go to the school to teach, to do research. I guess maybe it's a school-by-school basis, so.
That might be a school-by-school basis. I know UConn offers work-study. I'm not sure if that's exactly the same, but it is an opportunity to work with the school and help with projects at UConn that'll help pay for parts of your tuition.
Okay.
But I've yet to hear of an assistantship. That's new to me.
Okay, sounds good. Thank you.
You're welcome.
That's new to me also. I've never heard of the assistantship thing with Purdue. They've not had that either.
I have a question for Mary. Susan already told us what she thought about grad school and how, you know, of course, organizing yourself helped out the situation. But, of course, the classes she thought were a little bit easier and, you know, she was able to get through. For your graduate program, how was grad school like? I know that you're still kind of in the middle of it. Yes, I am still in the middle of it. My best word is intense because the program I chose to enter because I didn't want to spend 2 more years getting another degree. I just wanted 1 year in, out, done. It was very rigorous. So you would be in class full time each week, 3, maybe even 6 hour classes, just 1 each day, 6 hours, and then you'd come home and have just as much homework. So I guess the program was a little different because I couldn't take everything I did and apply it. Like, I wasn't writing programs of activities, which would have been awesome. It wasn't focused on ag education, so it didn't tie directly into anything I was doing in a classroom yet. But it gave me the backgrounds I needed considering my undergrad. I didn't take any educational courses. So I would say that mine was very intense, and it still is. I will still take complete days off just to do homework, which I was very happy to give up. No, that was the toughest part was transitioning from student teaching full time in the fall. Then I walked onto a short term sub position for my winter break. So teaching full time for 5 months, doing lesson plans and grading and everything related to the students in the school system, and then getting pulled completely out of that and thrown back into the students' shoes again as for the spring semester was probably the most difficult part, was just readjusting to being on the other side of the desk again.
Okay, thank you, Mary.
You're welcome. Are there any other questions on the floor or anything people want to ask or know? All right, in which case, Alan, shall I send it back to you?
Awesome. Well, thank you so much. As the screen says, eventually this presentation will be online in case you want to reference it later or share it with someone. You just want to go to that next slide. The next webinar is going to be in March. The Teach Ag Ambassadors, they'll be hosting it, are Rylan and Nate. It's going to be talking about job interview tips, how to feel successful and how to do, you know, just a standout job when you're interviewing for maybe that first teaching position or, you know, maybe it's another one that you're applying for. We'll communicate some of those details as far as the time and the date through Tag the Teach Ag Time, Monday Morning Monitor, social media, and communities of practice. So just stay tuned and we'll be able to give you that information in the later date.
And those boys are fantastic, so that'll be fun.
And then here's our contact information if you're interested in reaching out to anyone. Our Facebook, our Twitter, and then also the phone numbers. You can also find all this information on our website, which is NAAE.org/TTAG. And I think that wraps it up. Is there any other final comments, thoughts, concerns?
I just want to thank Susan and Mary both for their time tonight. It's been a pleasure speaking with you guys and learning from your experiences and how you view grad school.
You're welcome. And Susan, thank you for being part of this as well.
You're welcome.
Oh. Well, all right. All right, everyone, have a great evening.
You too. Good night.
Thank you. Same to you.
Thank you.
Bye.